About to hop into another episode of the Bobbycast with Lauren Jenkins. Before we go with that, let me recommend a couple podcasts. If you listen to podcasts, which obviously you do and you figured it out, Get Real with Caroline Hobby is the newest podcast here on the Nashville Podcast Network. I saw she was pretty thrilled with how well her podcast was doing.
Yeah.
And it should do well. It's a fantastic podcast.
Great.
And I think that was when Caroline and I started talking. I was like, your podcast is so good. We just don't have enough ears on it. And so she's now over on the Nashville Podcast Network. It's called Get Real with Caroline Hobby. And I've known Caroline for a long time. She was on Amazing Race. I knew her before that, I guess. Maybe I knew her after that. But she was in Stealing Angels.
Mm-hmm.
She is married to Michael Hobby from 1,000 Horses. Is a pretty cool life, but she goes and she talks to now, you know, a lot of really strong women, and a lot of them happen to be the wives of country stars. She kind of gets their story. And a lot of these country stars wouldn't be stars without these wives. And there's a great one with Caroline Bryan, Luke Bryan's wife. You have the list up over there?
Yeah.
Russell Dickerson's wife.
She has Dan and Shay's, each of their wives.
Oh, yeah, separately.
Yeah, separately. Like,
yeah. So I would check it out. It's called Get Real with Caroline Hobby. Also, obviously, Amy has a podcast called Four Things with Amy Brown, which is on a whole wide range of topics. That podcast is doing fantastic. It's getting closer to catching us.
It is.
Yeah. Listen, if I'm to be honest, my recommendation of her doing the midweek mailbag was heavy for her. I was like, Amy, people want it. They love you. You need to do another one. Because her podcast is a lot of work. She does four whole different segments. She researches it. And I was like, you got to do another one. First of all, they want to hear you. And secondly, give it to them. And then get more people to subscribe. And it does well for her. So a little bit, mostly I'm happy for her. A little bit, we gotta keep going here. Getting closer to catching us here on the Bobbycast. Lunchbox and Eddie and Raymundo, if you're into sports, or maybe if you listen to this and someone in your life's a big sports fan, they do a show called The Sore Losers Podcast. They do that 4 to 5 times a week.
Yep.
Right? Kelly Henderson has the Velvet's Edge Podcast, Fashion Style Tips. There's a lot there on the Nashville Podcast Network. You can always go to NashvillePodcastNetwork.com and see all the shows that we have there. And we're really close to bringing on a new show, eh?
Yeah.
Is that done yet or no? Is that signed? Yeah. I won't say what it is anyway.
Not
it is.
Quite, but it's pretty close.
It's not. Listen, if I were this person, they have a great podcast too. And we've been talking with them. And because Caroline Hobby had a great podcast. We did nothing except give it ears. I'd go, huh, look at that. That can be done. Because I think Caroline Hobby's finally getting like her just due for the great work she does. I think this person will get the same kind of pop, don't you?
Definitely.
Yeah. So we talking to anybody else about coming on, or are those all just kind of, I know we had some conversations with people, but are we move further with anybody else or no?
Not yet, no.
There's one country artist we were talking to. We had a good talk, but I felt like their heart wasn't quite in it yet.
Not quite.
They didn't quite know what they wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a thing. If you don't know what you want to say, don't say anything. Huh?
That's the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
Starting it like, okay, what is this going to be about?
What do you want to say consistently? You know, it's, you need like a consistent message-ish kind of thing. You know, you don't do sports one show and then talk about contemporary art the next show, unless your podcast, you kind of have a lane you stay in.
Yeah.
Finding that lane. But we're going to bring on Lauren Jenkins, who is in my class of 2019. I picked 5 artists. She was one of them. And she has a new record out called No Saint. And I know Lauren. And so we kind of just started. And here we go. Episode of the Bobbycast. Welcome to episode 172.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren, Beyonce on me a little bit right before we came on. She said, I don't think I want to wear headphones. Why? Too good for headphones? You're not playing.
Well, I'll just do one on, one off.
Problem is I'm going to play clips from like songs.
Okay.
And if you don't have headphones on, you can't hear them. As you can tell, we already know each other because we're bickering at the very beginning of this. And Lauren walked in. I was like, we're just going to start talking. Sometimes there's this whole part where it's a little awkward for me. And I have my radio show set up this way too, where I do things where people come in and we'll go live. I don't like that having to fill small talk in between commercials. And
right.
It's just like.
Yeah. Well, you did that to me. Yeah. I didn't know we were live.
Walk in live.
I was like, oh, we're roll. Okay, no heads up. Cool.
Well, they should have given you a heads up.
Yeah. I thought we were going to do the like, hey, what's your middle name? No, what's your favorite color? Nice to meet you.
I'm just not that guy.
Fine.
I'm not good at it. I don't feel like I have to do it with you anymore because we've spent enough time together where it's like, all right, you're here. Mm. Let's just roll. And then it's like, and I want to wear headphones. And I was like, all right. Have you seen the Beyonce documentary, by the way?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to watch it tonight. Yeah,
it's long.
That's okay. I'm sure it's good material.
It's really good. You'll be inspired just from the art. Mike, have you seen it yet?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
It's her. How I'm confused is I don't understand how you have two outfits on. Did she play one show before? Because the yellow outfits is Coachella. But the pink outfits, and you guys haven't seen it, so you can't even answer this question. No. They're like smashing back and forth between two different shows.
Was it 2 weekends or something?
Or 2 days?
Oh, that's what it is. Did she do it twice?
I think so.
That makes sense. Because Coachella's 2 weekends.
Yeah. I've never been to Coachella. I feel like Instagram ruined it, kind of. I shouldn't say that because I do want to play Coachella.
I'm not a coach. I played Stagecoach.
Yeah.
And it's after it's like Coachella just like did it with a dude for like 3 hours, and then you get to go have you get to do it with that person. it's wore out. It's wore out because it's the weekend right after.
Yeah,
you're going to do Stagecoach after Coachella's been there for 2 weeks. So that's a terrible analogy.
I don't know if people actually listen to the music though. That's a thing. I feel like some people are like, oh, there's a music festival happening.
Well, they paid Ariana Grande $8 million. That number came out. So they better be listening to something. Because they paid her $8 million to play, to be the headliner. She's, I think, the youngest headliner ever. Is that what it was?
I believe so, yeah.
That's an astronomical amount of money.
Yeah,
$8 million. What, 45 minutes or something? Or
yeah, but again, I don't think that that would be fair to base it on time. I think it would be fair to base it on the amount of press that she gets to sell that festival. But I'm not, I'm going to Bonnaroo this year. Have you ever been?
Mm-mm.
You seem like a Bonnaroo girl.
Because I don't shower.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have went exactly to not shower, but like you're comfortable with just rolling.
Yeah. Gotta be.
Yeah. And that's a compliment. I used to be really comfortable. I've become a little pampered the last couple of years.
Yeah. You probably own a hair dryer, don't you?
No, I actually don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't fix my hair.
Okay.
In my life.
That's just natural.
Unless I'm on set and they're paying for it to be done.
Somebody does it for
me. Nobody fixes my hair. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And there have been times when I need to fix my hair and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
So I'll just get a haircut.
I don't even do that.
I have your vinyl here that you handed me.
Yeah.
This is, you're so cool. You have vinyl now.
I know, it is really neat. Yeah. I was happy that I got to design it the way that I wanted to. And scan 35 mil photos and put it in there and handwritten lyrics, all the little details that people probably don't really care about, but I'm like, please, can I do this and this?
Yeah, you're such an artist. You're
so artsy.
In like all the respects. You
I
know?
Like it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you definitely want control. And I think with me, my thing is with having all the control comes some bad to it as well. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've been a control freak my whole career.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, if you mess up or a decision that you make doesn't pan out, then it's your fault.
Yeah, and then you don't get to make another one for a while in that same little area.
Mm-hmm.
I found you through this song, and this is Give Up the Ghost.
Mm.
And I have about one, maybe two people that I'll listen to when they say that somebody's good. Because everybody's giving music all the time, so I don't listen to anything.
Yeah.
I kind of have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends that go, hey, listen to new music. Like real big artist friends. I'm like, I can't. It's a slippery slope for me.
Yeah.
And what do you mean to say? Because I listen to music, and what do you mean to say? It's good?
Right.
Like you're elite. Of course.
Also, how much time do you have to just listen to music? I mean, your schedule is so
but
full.
Again, I listen to a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go and valet my car, and people will leave music in my seat. Or it's just always a thing. Or I'll go to a show and people hand me music. So I just go. But one of two people I trust said, hey, you should hear this Lauren Jenkins girl.
Mm.
Didn't know anything about you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the song. It was Give Up the Ghost. I believe it was before it was even out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just on like it was a wave.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it right here. Good. It's out now, by the way.
It is. Okay.
Let's talk about this song for a second before we switch back and we'll bounce around a little bit. So tell me about the song just in general. What in the world is Give Up the Ghost?
I wrote it with Emily Shackleton, and it was about this relationship that I was in where nothing was really bad except for his past was just getting in the way. And we've all got a past, but, you know, some of us like have a past that haunts more than others, and it really just ruined the relationship. So it was kind of this moment of like, hey, either be in this with me and like, let that go, let this other person, this ghost of this person go, or I guess I'll just be on my way.
I'm always curious about two parts. One, the person that you're writing the song about, because if that song is written about me, and I've written songs, that comedy songs about people, but it's still, you're writing about somebody, or I've talked on the radio about people, and I'm talking about me, but other lives are a part of it.
Yeah.
So whenever you're making the decision, you sit in the room, is this fresh when you write this song? Like, are you and this dude breaking up, or is it something you kept around?
Yeah, it was pretty fresh. It was relatively fresh. It's not as fresh anymore, but the feeling, I feel like, you know, within my acting background, I pull on my experiences or other people's experiences, and that crosses over into songwriting too. So if the core emotion is something that I've felt, then the song still stays fresh when I play it on stage for the 200th time.
Okay. So this guy, do you make the call after you decide to cut it? Hey, Frank, you know, that ghost you used to have, I wrote a song about you and that ghost.
No, he knows. He's not in my life anymore, but
in no way whatsoever.
No. And I mean, the thing is, if something happens to you, that's your experience that you kind of get to write about.
Ish.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope. I mean, I'm not going to like put names out there or like put somebody on blast.
You own your story, but you have to be delicate with your story when it includes others.
Do you? I don't know.
From my experiences, I've just incorporated people into things at times, telling my story that hurt them. And I'm not saying this song is the example.
Yeah.
But I handle things a bit differently now. I'll 18% skew it. It's kind of my rule.
Well, I think there's always, you know.
Can they find out who that dude is by the song?
What's that?
Can people figure out who the dude is by hearing the song?
No.
Okay.
I'm pretty private in a lot of ways.
So they can't track it back on Instagram?
No.
That's good. And I'm not hating at all. I just wonder how you do it, because I have to deal with this all the time in my life.
Well, I think the great thing about songwriting is part of it, for me, it all comes from an autobiographical place, but it's not my journal. It's not all the details. Like, there's stuff that I keep to myself too.
So you and this dude, did you break up before the song was written?
No.
You wrote the song. You take it back to him and go, hey, listen to this.
No, because I've always kept sort of art and career, if you will, sort of separate from life. And so in terms of my art and my career, that's like, I do exactly what I want to do. And I don't really ask for permission.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
I still do. That's probably why I'm still single, Mike. I just do it.
That might be why I'm not on the radio too. I don't know. So
I got into it, and I can tell this story now because it's been a bit, because I can't talk about things when they super close happen, because you can identify the people. So that's one of the rules that I've made in my life. Like, now I'm going to tell the story, but it's been long enough. It could be 4 months ago. It could be 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Exactly.
But I had a girl, and we went out, and I took her, and I was like, hey, we should go and do like a spa. We call it a spa day. But mostly I was on the road. I was like, I really don't want to do it for me. And if you're around, well, you can just hop in there with me. Yeah. And the spa experience wasn't that good to me. Okay. And I was making jokes and doing what I do. It's been a while, but she heard it. I didn't think she even listened to the show. She heard it and was really hurt by the fact that I had such a miserable experience. Because all I could think about was, I forgot to get cash to tip the valet. The massage lady kept whispering in my ear, like the dude from Lord of the Rings. What's the dude's name?
Smeagol?
Yeah. Or she's like, it doesn't feel good. So I tell the story, and she calls me just so upset that I had such a miserable time. But it's hard to live a life up and tell stories about.
I guess that's why
but that's why I do it. That's why she's not with me. I mean, that's why we ended up not dating anymore.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a bummer, but at the same time, I feel like it's better just to be honest, because then, you know.
You would think.
Yeah. I mean, don't pretend like
I'm honest, but I'm still sitting over here alone. Honestly, I get you in trouble. Honestly, get into trouble. Listen, my point is I like that song, and that's how I found you. It's a good one.
I'm glad you listened.
Yeah, me too, because I don't always. This person I trusted, he was like, hey, she's good. And I guess your story was, and you can kind of put some light on this, he said she's kind of been, and I don't know if he knew the term either, he said she's kind of been shelved for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's been signed, and they really haven't let her do anything in a while. Mm-hmm. But I think they're kind of opening the door for her to make music.
Yeah, I mean, when I moved here from New York, or I actually got my deal started while I was still living in New York, I didn't know anything about the music business.
Where'd you grow up, by the way?
It was Texas for the first 9 years, and then North Carolina until I was 15. And then I've left home when I was 15, and I've kind of been everywhere ever since.
So you're in New York, and you're like trying to make it acting?
Yeah, I was studying acting and playing wherever I could whenever I had any free moment. So, you know, playing in the Lower East Side and writing by myself and making trips to Nashville to record. I was recording an EP at the time. And then my music was sent to some labels, and I got on a plane and met with labels. And
how long ago was this?
That was in 2013.
Okay.
And so signed with Big Machine at the end of 2013. And then moved to Nashville, and there was a learning curve because I didn't know shit about shit.
You can do whatever you want.
So yeah, there was a learning curve, and then I guess some people could see it as being shelved, and I think there were definitely moments where I felt that way and was frustrated. But really, I think the turning curve was when I just kind of said, okay, well, if I wasn't signed to a label, what would I be doing? I'd be writing these songs. I'd be recording them this way. I'd be making these video projects with my friends. And so I started doing that. And then I went to the label and was like, hey, I wrote this song and made this record. And I recorded it in North Carolina. And they're like, these songs are really great. Let's record them for real. And then I was like, oh, and here's a music video that I shot. And that kind of, I think just me doing it and delivering it, having the time to figure that out and to create all that and turn it over, they got really excited. And that was sort of the turning curve. But it took me just doing exactly what I wanted and not being led by anybody else. So I don't know if that's how it's supposed to work, but
it's how it's worked for me. Because no one's ever, much like you, I don't think anyone ever expected anything from me. So it's been like, well, if you have no expectations, let me kind of, instead of asking you what I can make, let me show you my worth.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when I came to Big Machine, I didn't, you know, I had maybe like 1,000 followers and I was playing wherever I could. It's not like I was on some show. Nobody knew who I was. And really still I'm kind of under a rock. Like, things are happening and traction's happening, but it's not like, you know, I've got some massive following. Except for the following that you helped me get whenever you posted about those shows.
Did I post something? Was I like,
yeah,
follow Lauren?
I think you looked at my Instagram numbers and were like, what are your numbers?
Oh,
I don't know.
That's right.
And they're like,
we're in the band.
Starter kit.
By the way, I know Lauren from now. You did the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put you on some shows with me.
Yeah.
And then when you're on the road together, you just get to know each other because there's nobody else to talk to.
Right.
No offense, but you know, you're the only one there. And I was like, well, she's a warm body.
at least she didn't kick me off those shows.
Let me talk to that one. And so you spend time together and then you just are cool. And we've, you know, been cool for a while now. So you make a record and No Saint that's out now. How many tracks are on this?
10.
And it's a record. It's not an EP. It's a full record.
It's a record. It's a bit of a different record though, because it's been interesting to hear people's feedback, because some people are like, well, this song doesn't sound anything like that song. And if you actually listen to it, some of those songs are really recent and are recordings that I got to co-produce and make them sound the way that I wanted them to sound. And some of them are sort of like from the first chapters of me being in Nashville. So I love it because it kind of shows the journey of a few years ago and then today, now, which is kind of perfect for a first record in my mind.
And play some of No Saint. Here's the title track here.
So I opened up the Bible, memorized the page on, and you washed your hands.
Like hearing yourself or no?
I'm really proud of that song.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are there any songs, not that you don't like, but you're just like, you know, I don't even want you to call them out. I just don't like, I can't listen to myself. Even if something mm-hmm. I like, that's fantastic. I don't want to hear it.
Really?
I don't want to hear it. Not into it. Not into me. I've had so much me.
I don't think that it's that I'm into me, but like with that song in particular, it was a really hard one to write. And I ended up writing it exactly what I needed to say. And the recording, there's nothing that I would change on it. I wouldn't change any of the bass lines. I wouldn't change any of the guitar parts. And because I was so involved in all of those aspects, it's really satisfying to hear it and be like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I wanted.
You like hearing yourself sing?
I don't hear myself sing.
I don't know what you're saying. What do you mean you don't hear? I'm hearing you sing right now.
See, but it's, you can listen to what you want to listen to. I'm not, when I'm listening to that song, I'm listening to all of the intricacies and all the different parts. I'm not just, oh, let me hear myself.
Yeah, but I mean, do you like hearing yourself sing?
If it's not bad, I don't know.
I don't like hearing myself talk.
Yeah.
And I talk for a living. That's why some people, you know, don't. Yeah. I would like it if you like to hear yourself sing. I think that's the healthy thing.
I don't really pay attention to it.
So you write it, sing it.
It's all emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm listening for something, I'm listening for the emotion, not necessarily my voice or the pitch or something.
Today's technology makes it a lot easier for a lot of things because you're connected. Your cell phone is connected to your tablet. Your tablet's connected to your smart TV, and they're all connected to your Wi-Fi, but it may take only one weak link and all those connections for a criminal to get in. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security. While LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect possible threats to your identity, like your info for sale on the dark web, Norton Security helps protect up to 5 of your devices from online threats like ransomware, and if there's a problem, their dedicated agents will work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton gives you more protection for today's connected world. Join now, get 10% off your first year. Head to LifeLock.com, enter the promo code BONES. That's promo code BONES for 10% off your first year. LifeLock.com, promo code BONES. So how'd you get ready today? Did you shower, brush your teeth, wash your face, style your hair? I'm asking because as a proud member of Dollar Shave Club, I'm here to tell you that no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. You want a clean mouth and fresh breath, right? The intense peppermint flavor of Dollar Shave Club's toothpaste will wake you up and last a surprisingly long time. Their hydrating body cleanser smells awesome. Skin feels great after you shower, but I hope showering and brushing your teeth are just part of how you get ready. But no matter how you do, Dollar Shave Club has everything that you need, and I haven't even mentioned their razors and shave butter that everybody knows them for, including myself. Right now, you can get a Dollar Shave Club starter set for just $5 each. They got a shower set, a toothpaste, a toothbrush set, all their famous shave butter, the razor, any of those sets, just $5. And it's the best way to try out their amazing products. It's a great gift after your starter set products ship at a regular price, right? Get yours today, dollarshaveclub.com/bones. dollarshaveclub.com/bones. I was, watching your Instagram last week and all your stuff stolen.
Yeah.
And Amy, my co-host, sent me a message and she was like, hey, we should help Lauren. And it was right about the time that somebody else jumped in and helped you with it and mm-hmm. got you a bunch of stuff. And I was like, she's good.
Yeah. That sucks so bad.
Wait, so where was your car?
It was at a friend's house and it was about an hour before going to the airport.
And so was it like on the side road?
No, parked in the back.
And then
smashed the window.
Smashing. What was in the car they stole?
All I could grab was my backpack, but it's like one of those like Appalachian Trail backpacks that just fits your life in it. And I had put my journals and song notebooks because I write on paper. And so all the stuff that I've been writing for this year.
Oh, stuff you can't really replace.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
I brought because I was flying to Texas for shows, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have a little window, so I'm going to bring all of my hard drives, my backup hard drives, and get this a little more organized. So it's like 12 years worth of video footage and projects and all journals. Gone. It's all, yeah.
Because I was just seeing you talk about your clothes mostly because
Well, because I ran and grabbed like a duffel bag and I had nothing to put in it because I'm the person that has like two pairs of shoes and like one pair of black jeans. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to the airport in my sweatpants and I've got no bra. Perfect. So I was landing in Texas, literally like, okay, I don't have a brush or anything. And I was hoping that if I posted it, like maybe it would turn up. Cause what are they going to do with a Tom Petty t-shirt? I mean, unless it's their size.
Really throw it in a ditch.
Yeah. So I was thinking like, well, maybe somebody will see it. But I was pretty, when a friend of my manager started the GoFundMe page, I was like, I don't want to do that. And they were like, no, let us help you. And I've been pretty overwhelmed for the past week of how many kind people have helped me. I'm not used to that kind of support. It was really overwhelming. I mean, there was a woman who came to my show in Houston with a bag of t-shirts and a pair of headphones and a hard drive. And she was waiting at load-in to just gift me this. And I was like, can I give you a poster? No, I don't need anything. And I was like, great. Okay. I can never repay any of these people.
I think that's the thing. I don't think people are searching for repayment, and that's hard for me too.
Yeah.
It's hard for
me. Yeah.
To take.
I know. I'm kind of like, can someone just cuss me out? Because the scales are so tipped right now. There's so much kindness.
They're tipped from your perspective right now. Imagine, yeah. I mean, you've probably done things for people and not expected anything back ever just for the sake of you're a human and humans look out for humans. But then we start to feel weird when it happens for us, because for me, it was always, I was a charity case my whole life. Mm-hmm. I grew up super poor.
Yeah.
And PTA groups and church groups, like they made sure I was fed and get Christmas presents. So now it just triggers that feeling again, mm-hmm. where it's like, I'm the charity. Mm-hmm. And that's just me. I have to give up the ghost.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
Gotta give it up.
And so for me, that's what it is. And that's why I struggle with it. Why do you think that is for you?
I think because I've been on my own for so long and never expected anyone to take care of me or do anything for me. And I feel better if I earn something than if it's just given to me, whether it's an opportunity or a pair of socks. It's like, I feel like if I earn it, then it's okay. Cause that's how I've operated my whole life. So when something is just given and nothing is expected in return, I don't know how to handle that.
So what do you say to her when she gives it to you?
Well, I tried to give her merch and she went, I was like, can I give you a button? I make these in my house.
You do hand make them. Yeah. That's true.
And she wouldn't do it. She was like, no, I'll buy one.
She was doing it for the sake of doing it. Yeah. She was being a human for the sake of being a human.
Yeah. It was really beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. It was really beautiful.
Kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
Because you were forced to live that.
Yeah.
A terrible thing happened and you wouldn't it sucked all your creation was stolen. Like that part really sucks. Mm-hmm. But I guess on the, not to the silver lining.
No, it is though.
But you were forced to have to let an emotion in that you're not very mm-hmm. comfortable dealing with. Mm-hmm. And it also gives you a new perspective on it too.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really great reminder of how humans actually are really good and how people help other people and complete strangers. I mean, it was a really beautiful thing to see. I wish I was witnessing that happen to somebody else and not me.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, just from the terms of being so uncomfortable.
Oh, I would say for the terms too. Oh, my crap was stolen. Like that sucked too. But I'm gonna read here what you had stolen. Clothes, shoes, makeup, guitar pedals, laptop, hard drives, something called CDs. I'm not sure what those are. All the stuff that you mentioned that you wrote, you got none of it back so far, right? Mm-mm. So you're not getting it back at this point.
No,
it's not coming back.
They probably read my journal, laughed, and then threw it in a fire.
I bet. Having had my stuff, taken a couple times, mm-hmm. you never see it again. They try to pawn what they can quickly.
I know. I've gone to pawn shops. Everything else goes in a
dumpster.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with an external hard drive.
Throw in a dumpster.
Or six them.
Nothing they can't take and turn it over super quick to get drugs.
Right.
Because that's all they're doing. They're just trying to find money quick so they can get their fix quick.
Yeah.
Then, because a lot of kids, the thing now to do is to walk and just hit door handles, and if it's unlocked, take it. Like, mm-hmm. they're having to do warnings all the time. Like, hey, don't leave your doors unlocked, you idiots. Yeah. But this didn't happen. This is a bust in the window.
Yeah, this is a crowbar.
Did you go and look in and go, wait, what happened? What? It's always that confusing moment where you're like, the window?
The car alarm went off.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. About 30 minutes before my alarm went off.
That sucks. So. Well, listen, you need anything? I got a whole closet down there. You go into it, you know, whatever you want.
I'm good. I don't think I'm your shoe size.
You can take whatever you want. well, dang, that does stink.
Okay.
Well, here is all good things. This is a song from No. Lauren's voice sounds like she does NPR. And so now I feel myself falling kind of into that spot. You have that real like, welcome to NPR. Today we'll be talking about the neuroscientist from Paducah, Kentucky, who's been spent 7 years researching. That she kind of has that voice.
So you go into.
So now I'm feeling myself just kind of get dragged into it. Here's all good things. Here's all good things.
I don't remember what year it was.
It's been a few years.
That's actually, that's the work tape from the day we wrote it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You say work tape, so this isn't on the record? This is the version
it
of the record?
It is
the version.
Yeah.
So you just put the work tape on the record?
Yeah.
You wrote that with Ross Carvin, a friend of mine?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Shane McAnally.
Oh, yeah?
Blair Daly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at you.
It was fun.
That's cool to get those big rights that long ago.
It was fun.
How did they set you up with those guys?
I also wrote You'll Never Know, which is on the record with Ross. And so I think this was our second write together. And Shane just happened to be free. So Ross was like, hey, do you mind? Because we had started the song. He was like, do you mind if I bring Shane in? He's free right now. And I was like, yeah, come on. Let's do it. We wrote it really fast. It was fun.
You talk about acting. So you're 15 years old. Is that what you want to do? You want to move away and act? Or why did you move so young?
I started getting opportunities in film and TV when I was 15 in Memphis. And so I started crewing on some independent films and then got with an agency there and started booking work. But really, it to me, it was all of it. I was writing at that point. I was playing in bars at that point. And I've just always loved storytelling.
Well, where do you go at 15 and who do you go with?
Me.
Okay, but how do you, if you don't have a driver's license or nor are you an adult?
You hope that you don't get pulled over with your permit.
Okay, how do you, are you just working cash?
No, I had, you know, W-9s and stuff.
How did you do adult things?
Good question.
Like
I was scrappy. I figured out a way, and I don't recommend that people do that young, but I was like ready to go when I was 10. And so 15 was like the first time that I actually could. And I figured out, okay, how do I homeschool? And I had my swim team coach show me how to do it. And I would have to go back to North Carolina to like take tests and all that kind of stuff and show my lesson plans. And then funny enough, I probably shouldn't tell the story.
That means you should.
Well, when I was 15, I got booked on a Nashville music video, and it was through CMT. Sorry, guys. And they needed a copy of my driver's license. So I had to Photoshop. I was like, oh, I forgot it. Can I email it to you?
That long ago you Photoshopped it before it was easy to do.
Yeah. Well, because I was also doing photography. I was, you know, shooting weddings. And so I learned Photoshop and all that kind of stuff. So I was able to Photoshop my permit and send it over to the production.
In a music video?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
It was called Heart Like Memphis by the Carter Twins.
And what's your role?
I was the girl, and I didn't have any scenes with them, but the song is all about this girl, and she's like kind of lonely and sad and whimsical, but also full of life or whatever. And so I was like, yeah, that was funny. So you just figure it out.
How old did they think you were?
I think they thought I was 21.
And you were 15, 16 mm-hmm. years old? 15? Mm-hmm. And you obviously you don't say you're not. You just take the work.
No, yeah.
I mean, I've spent my whole life not saying what I couldn't, mm-hmm. just showing up and figuring it out.
Yeah.
And so you photoshopped a driver's license. You're 15. You look 21 at 15.
Yeah.
Wait, what are your parents, are they alive?
Yes.
Are they still together?
Yes.
And you're 15 and you want to leave?
Yeah.
And what do they say to that?
I think they felt that they couldn't stop me. And I was really determined. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. See you guys at Christmas.
Where'd you get the car?
I had saved up enough money to buy a Volvo from my second cousin.
And so at 15, with no driver's license, you drove from
Charlotte,
North Carolina to
Memphis
to do.
I was booked. I was a PA and set photographer on an indie film.
Do they know you're 15?
No.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. You know what it reminds me of as a kid version? Do you ever watch Friends? You watch Friends at all?
I've seen Friends.
Yeah,
I'm not that.
You're pretty counterculture. There's a whole arc where Joey goes off to Las Vegas to act. You ever see that, Mike? You watch your Friends, where Joey runs off to be in the Las Vegas movie, and he has to take all these other jobs as he's trying to act. And anyway, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah. But
look at you're so against the system. You're so punk rock.
What is the system?
Yeah. Right. You watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Did you watch
yes.
Right now, we're only through one episode of the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think ends up being?
I just don't understand how they're going to wrap this up in five more episodes. Oh, God, you found it.
Is this a video with the Carter
Twins? Oh, no.
Oh, they're dudes.
Yeah.
The Carter Twins are dudes. That's you?
Yeah.
So you're driving a car. They're playing the Carter Twins. They look like two Nick Carters from the Backstreet Boys. There's these two dudes. I never heard of the Carter Twins. There you are at 15 years old.
They're a different name now.
They are?
Yeah.
Is that Dan and Shay? Is that Dan and Shay? And this is you in the video.
Yeah, driving that car. I was terrified to drive it.
You look especially whimsical. And you're 15. If they think you're 21, are there like adult men hitting on you, thinking that they can, since you're an adult as well, and you have to be like, don't, because you will go to jail?
No. It was like a two-day shoot. Everybody on set was professional.
It doesn't even look like you. Just I mean, I guess it does, huh?
Yeah, I can
a bit.
Well, it's blurry.
Okay. Still. Well, you do look whimsical.
Super whimsical.
Let me ask you this about Game of Thrones. Who do you want to take? If you got to pick, who would you have?
I love Arya Stark.
Me too. That's who I would. She's a scrapper. She reminds me of me.
Yeah, she reminds me of me.
She's like fighting and clawing mm-hmm. and figuring it out the whole time.
Yeah.
That's who I would want to take over.
That's probably not going to happen.
She's too far away from
it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless everybody dies and she somehow survives. And yeah, I have so many questions.
Would you be okay with the White Walkers? Just the end. They have it all.
No.
I would.
Really?
What a fantastic ending.
Yeah, but bummer. It would just be,
Why would it be a bummer?
Because.
Listen, life is not John Stark takes over.
But maybe.
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 And he just found out. Well,
yeah.
Listen.
Spoiler.
We won't spoil anything. But I would like for Arya Stark to be.
Yeah.
Probably John, right?
That would be.
If you're betting, you get $100, who would you put it on?
Oof. Honestly, with those writers, there's so many twists and turns and shocks that, and they throw the rules out.
That's why I wish it would be the White Walkers. That'd be so cool.
That's why it might be. I mean, it might be Bran.
I think he's a favorite
mm-hmm.
because you don't know really what's up with him. You've never really known.
Is he the Night King?
Is he even?
They could make that Night King look like anybody else, and they're going to make him look that similar. I don't know.
Yeah. Mike, are you caught up? Huh?
Yeah.
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 You don't want to say too, but
It's a great show.
I would love, and I tell people this about Game of Thrones. Don't get started right now. I love it. I think it's the best show of my life. Not my favorite show, one of my favorites, not my absolute favorite, but it's the best show of my life with the money, the writing, the production.
And the thing is too, now everybody, it's so hard to find original content, especially in a fantasy. Everybody's making adaptations of things that have already been made. So for this to be an original piece, an original storyline is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, only 5 episodes left. And again, we're only at episode 2 of the last season. And not to spoil anything, but the second episode's not even an hour long either.
Gosh.
I looked at all the run times.
What in the world? Uh-huh. How?
So the good fun news is it's got to move quick.
It's super quick.
So
yeah. I rewatched it again because I was like, okay, I need to, things are happening so quickly now that I was like, I need to rewatch and make sure I'm downloading everything that just happened.
What's kind of cool is the movies are now outrunning the books because they never finished writing the books. You know, he's still alive, but he hasn't finished writing the books.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, dude, you're getting older and you're kind of overweight. So the heart's probably pumping a little hard. So, and he's not right. You know, is he in on it as well? Like, is he going to write the books based on what they decide on them? Mike, what do you know about that?
I don't know. I mean, he just stopped writing them and they're like, hey, we need to finish this last season. He's like, I'll get to it.
Oh.
But does he, after the season, but does he then write a longer version of what the show wrote?
Or
does
he go his
own way?
I feel like he does whatever he wants.
Yeah, and we'll just have to read it to find out. He's alive.
Do you ever read them, though?
I haven't either.
Yeah. Did you ever read Harry Potter?
I just started reading Harry Potter.
I haven't read it. Do you like it?
Yes.
One of my friends said that I would love it. And I'm
I think you would, actually. You would. Yeah, you should read it.
I'm not a hater of it at all. I just don't get it.
It's a quick read.
But the books are so thick. How is it quick?
It's so quick.
Have you read all of them?
All of them.
I don't think
you would like them, though.
You don't think I would like them?
No?
Because they're kids. I think looking back on it, you wouldn't get it at this point.
Well, I disagree. I think that there's some similarities, perhaps, in Harry's story. Or at least you can find some common ground that might remind you of yourself. And I think it's kind of fun to put yourself in his shoes, even though now you're all grown up.
Am I, though? Are we ever really grown up?
Exactly. Like, you should read it.
I think it was bigger for me because I grew up with him. And I read him at the same time. I felt like I grew up with the characters.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, going back and reading them would be the same effect.
Did you read Hunger Games? Hunger Games?
I did read Hunger Games.
Love them or no?
Yeah. They were, again, easy. I mean, it's a quick, easy read.
I really enjoy the Hunger Games books. The movies are pretty good.
Yeah. First one's great.
I always find people that go, oh, the movie's not as good as the book. Mm-hmm. Annoying because they can't be as good as a book.
No.
The books take us weeks and they're super filled with detail.
Yeah.
And if the book was so good that there's a movie, there's not hardly ever a bad book gets a movie made on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be a fantastic book for there to be a movie most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, he just wasn't as good as the book. Well, no crap.
Well, it's a different medium.
You just spent 3 weeks with a book.
it's totally a different medium.
You want to cram 2 hours into three. I like the Harry Potter, or not the Hunger Games books. Did you do Lord of the Rings?
I haven't.
You seen the movies?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I like the films a lot.
I watched them because I felt pressured by society.
Mm.
IMDb got me. Because they were like 99.11.
Oh,
and I'm like, wow, 99.11. That's not even a real number.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
101.
Impossible to live up to that, regardless of how good it is. And I thought it was fine.
Okay.
They are long.
Yeah. You've got to be ready to buckle down.
I buckled down over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'm just going to watch them. And they were fine. Mike, do you like them?
Nah.
I wanted to.
They're very long and it's a lot of walking.
It's a lot of walking.
And nothing for a while.
Yeah. What's the nerdiest thing about you? We're talking about all this nerd stuff. What's the nerdiest thing about you?
Nerdiest? I don't know. Because I don't think it's nerdy. But
I don't think nerdy's a bad thing, though.
No, I do. I geek out over all things storytelling, whether it's film photography or like I watch all of the credits.
You are a nerd about making film and movies.
Yeah. And if I go to Belcourt, I am the person that has to sit through the entire credits and read everything to get an understanding of how their crew worked and what size crew and look for names that I might know. So that's kind of nerdy, I guess.
So what? Yeah. But I, again, I don't think nerdy is a bad thing. I'm nerdy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, like, I like stats and encyclopedias.
Yeah. Do you own an encyclopedia?
Well, when I was a kid, that's what I would save my money and buy one encyclopedia at a time at the grocery store.
Mm.
And until I could afford the next ones, all I did was read that one encyclopedia. So I pretty much read a set of encyclopedias. But that's how I got out of my small town, was just learning and crushing like standardized tests. I didn't move off at 15.
Yeah.
And have to figure out life that way. Let me play another song real quick. How about let's do Running Out of Road. On this record here, and you have enough photography background. Mm-hmm. Did you say that these pictures weren't retouched? Mm-hmm. Are they retouched?
Mm-mm.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
So you just took the pictures and loaded them up.
Mm-hmm.
Why was that important to you?
I think that there's a huge pressure right now on people to appear their quote unquote best and be filtered. And there's like, I had somebody recently say they were training me for something and they were talking about flyaways and having like scissors and like hairspray and stuff for flyaways. And I was like,
well, for a flyaway,
like, okay. So like that picture, how my hair is kind of all over, it's cause it's probably not brushed and we didn't like smooth it out. And I think that your pores and your flyaways and your laugh lines is kind of what makes us human. And so for the album artwork, I didn't want it to be retouched. Like I wanted you to be able to look at the skin and be like, oh, there's pores there, because that's a person's face, instead of smoothing everything over. And I think it would be nice if more people did that, especially for like, you know, younger girls or even women my age or older women, to maybe just alleviate that pressure just a little bit of trying to feel perfect or trying to look, you know, like they don't look like a human.
So none of these pictures are retouched, huh? I demand every one of my pictures retouched by multiple places. I have it retouched here, then it's sent another place, then it's retouched.
Yeah.
And then maybe I touch it again.
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, for, you know, everybody's different.
That's why I appear a small Asian man on all my records.
You know, everybody's different. And for me, I would like for all my photos to remain unretouched.
Well, I demand all mine don't.
Okay.
One of my friends did, Men's Fitness or one of those Men's Fitness magazines, and they chopped his head off and put another dude's body.
Yeah.
Whole body.
Yeah. They can do that.
Whole body.
Though. Yeah.
And he's famous. And I was like, what are they doing? I thought it was hilarious.
That is kind of funny.
Feel free, anyone, to do that to me. You want to put me on Mark Wahlberg's body? Like, let her rip, man.
Maybe I can do Sports Illustrated then, if they just like Photoshop a taller, more fit, active person with my head.
When I did the Dancing with the Stars, they were like, do you want us to paint abs on you? Is that a weird thing for you? I was like, no, paint away. Paint abs on my back. Like, paint abs on my calves.
Trap
like,
muscles.
Yeah, like, let me have it. Give me every kind. Let me read some of the places Lauren's going to be. Gramercy Theater, May 2nd in New York. Mm-hmm. Chattanooga on May 16th. St. Louis on June 26th. Louisville, Kentucky on September 15th. You're also playing another show with me in Wichita, Kansas.
Is that next week?
Mm-mm.
Week after.
It's funny. No, it's not till the summer.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not till. It's a.
I've got two Kansas things, I think.
Yeah, one's not with you. I know, you're all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, similarly, we just kind of watch Insta stories and see where people are. But you left me the last time and went overseas for the first time, huh? And to play overseas.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was awesome.
Where'd you go?
We did Berlin, Frankfurt, Hamburg, Amsterdam, London. And my German got better. I need to get some more in the vault before I go back over. I'm going in September.
Oh, yeah, going again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tough to make money at those shows, though.
Yeah, I have no idea if I made any money or not, but I do know that I met a lot of people, and I have friends also that live in Europe, so that was really cool.
Did you stay with them? Well, by make money, I mean survive.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like come out a dollar ahead. It's tough.
Right, right. I just try to, you know, eat catering and not buy meals.
How do I know she's not 15 right now and this isn't all an elaborate ruse still? So you went over to Europe and that was cool.
Oh yeah. I loved it.
How'd you find those crowds?
They were amazing. They listened. People had learned the entire record. Somebody requested Blood off the record and I was like, oh wow. Okay. They really actually listened to it and did their research. I guess I'm playing this song now.
We were playing Run Out of Road a minute ago. That's the short film, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I guess when we had talked last time, you had said it just got accepted to a film festival.
Yeah, Roswell Film Festival. So I'm in Kansas in 2 weeks for a radio show with class.
That's what it is. I'm not going to be there.
Okay.
Because I'm way too cool. Yeah. Actually, I'm not too cool. I'm doing American Idol, and so I couldn't.
Oh, okay, fine. Couldn't postpone that.
I got to work. Some of us got to eat. Yeah.
Fine.
So yeah, that's right. They booked the entire my class of 2019, mm-hmm. and you're going to go up there and play with the radio station.
And the principal's not even going to be there. Great.
I don't like being the principal. Maybe the popular kid.
Instructor.
Yeah, the popular kid. but then we're going to actually play a show at a fair.
Oh yes, it's yes. It's food and truck or something.
Food and truck, is that even a thing?
In a food truck?
Yeah. It's The Raging Idiots and Nicole Gallion and you.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's going to be fun. The radio show.
And then going into Mexico.
And fly into Albuquerque and drive from Albuquerque to Roswell.
So what does that mean when a film gets accepted? Like what happens?
So that means it's in competition. It's an official selection for that film festival. And I'm going to miss the award ceremony. So
you won't be there to get your win?
So I won't be there to win. But in order to qualify for, since this is a short film, for the Oscars for the short film category, you have to be accepted into a certain number of Oscar qualifying short film festivals. You don't necessarily have to win, but you have to be an official selection. So this is the first one that qualifies for that.
How many do you have to be in to be, you know?
That's a good question. I should know that, but I don't.
We talked last time, you were just driving over, if I'm remembering right, to either Chattanooga or Knoxville to play with Willie.
Mm.
Where was that?
It was in Kentucky and in Knoxville.
How did that go?
Amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah. He had me come up on stage both nights to sing with him in the band, and I was just like, pinch me.
What'd you sing?
We sang Will the Circle Be Unbroken? We sang three songs. What were the other two?
My favorite country song ever, which is in my top three songs of all time, is Willie Nelson, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
It's so good.
Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. that's cool that you get to go up and sing with Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I love this song. Blow, I see. My favorite songs, and I'm going to have you do this too. This is... I'm three, no order. This one, Stop This Train, John Mayer, and Ain't No Sunshine, Bill Withers. Those are my three favorite songs. Your turn.
I can't do all-time favorite. It changes.
If it changes, I mean, right there's now. Something right now. Your all-time favorite's right now.
Yeah, right now is John Mayer, I guess I just feel like.
That's so new. You're putting that into your right now all-time favorites?
Right now, yeah. Because my all-time favorites, it depends on the day. Okay,
well,
depends on the mood.
Well, today in the mood.
Today, yeah.
John Mayer's my favorite. I mean, he's the first guy that I ever heard sing a song and go, oh, that's me saying that. But it wasn't me. It was the first time I'd ever experienced someone writing from my voice.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so I was like, that's my favorite artist.
He's so good. I'm
the same way too. Okay, you can have this one. Give me something else, though. Don't you love Bruce Springsteen?
I do. Yeah, actually, that's one on my all-time right now is Secret Garden by Springsteen.
Show me the money, Jerry. The human head weighs 10. That's that song,
I know,
right?
Yeah, it is in that, yeah.
There's a whole version of it with all the movie clips.
I don't listen to that.
You complete me.
Yeah. Did you have the movie version?
Don't ruin it.
I think.
Because the whole thing back in the day was to take movie clips and put it in songs. This was in the soundtrack.
This is from the soundtrack. I don't know if it has it.
Okay, no movie clips in this. But this is a jam.
It's so good. See? It's beautiful. Grit.
Go. Did you watch the Springsteen Netflix special?
I've seen half of it.
It's long.
I started it. I was in New York, and I just started crying within the first 2 minutes, and I had to be up super early, so I was like, I can't stay up and watch all of this.
Well, it's still up.
I know.
This is a Broadway show. I guess it's not going anymore. They stopped. It was like one of his last shows.
I know. I really wanted to go.
Tickets were like $800 or $900.
Yeah. Couldn't do it.
You ever go to a Broadway show? Let me get you the song. Let me get you the song first. Go ahead.
Third song, Rainbow Kitten Surprise, Fever Pitch.
Is you that even a real thing, or are you just yelling words at this point?
It's a real thing.
Yeah, I'm going to take Monster Key Lime Pie Sunshine. What is this here?
Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
Is the band or song name?
The band.
Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
RKS, yeah.
Okay, and it's the song's called?
Fever Pitch.
Okay, let me hear this.
North Carolina.
I can get into this. What's how you find them?
I found them through I believe it was Jared Hogan, who's a director, did their music video, and it's the bomb. It's so awesome.
And so they're a band.
They're a band out of North Carolina, actually. Boone. They're really cool. It's like this weird blend of, I don't know, like mountain music meets rock meets kind of country.
Yeah, I can get into it. Lil Nas X, Old Town Road, country or not?
Is this the thing that everybody's talking about? The song that everyone was talking about?
I don't know about everyone, but
it
sure.
was trending on Twitter.
Yeah, it's still a massive song. It's, yeah, here you go. Is this the Billy Ray Cyrus version?
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. Take a listen. Country so far? Talk me through it. Country so far?
No. No. Sure. I'm gonna ride
till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse. Got a little banjo in there, a little Billy Ray Cyrus.
Sounds like a programmed banjo.
Okay. I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached.
Head is matted black. Got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse. Why are we listening?
I'm asking you, what do you think this is?
It's a... It's... So I'm sure some kids like it. I don't know. I don't know.
You have no answer.
I don't know what it is.
I'm on the side of when people tell me something's not country, I just go, oh, we sure it is. I hate people assigning art. I get such a... And what does country music mean? What does it mean anyway? Except for me, it just means, hey, they like being authentic about what they're saying. I almost don't care what the instrument is because every instrument is used.
Yeah.
Even the most country guys are using, for example... programmed banjos. That happens a lot.
Yeah. To me, country is really the narrative has to be the core. Because pop does this really great job of kind of getting whatever the emotion is, but not really telling the narrative as much. It's more about the emotion and the feel and, you know, instrumentation, obviously. But with a country song, it is a story. So that's sort of how I... differentiate.
Well, there's definitely a story told in that song.
Yeah,
he's living a life. He's wearing a cowboy hat. He's doing the whole thing.
Got rain.
Well, it's not the details.
He's telling the whole story. He's got lean in his bladder. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, it's people ask me this all the time. That's what everybody wants to interview me about. What's country? My answer is I don't know. There's not an answer.
No.
It's whatever it is means to you.
Yeah.
I was just wondering how you felt about that song.
No.
That's the country song I've ever heard. For the record, you can't get any countryer than that.
Sure, like, sure.
There it is.
You say so.
Can't tell me nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me hear this one. This is from Lauren. This is called My Bar.
Yeah.
to take my bar. I've been polite and I've been strong, but don't.
What's when you're playing shows on the road, do you have a band yet?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just did Tortuga Fest.
How, that's fun, huh?
Oh, it was really fun.
That's
yeah,
that's fun. I played that one. It's fun.
Swam in the ocean.
You're right on the beach.
Yeah, it was great. It was warm. There was sunshine.
Yeah, that's in Fort Lauderdale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I would encourage people to go to that. Some festivals you go to and it's just a S show, man. You're
oh, yeah.
Like, oh, that's a fun one. You ever been to a country music festival? Like been as a fan?
Because
I really haven't.
No, I've never been as a fan.
I'm not cool enough to go to a festival.
I actually haven't been to that many festivals. I think I've only been to one.
I see a May Fest. That's not really a festival. I just go sleep in my bed. I would go to shows.
Yeah.
I went to ACL a bunch.
Yeah.
And there was all kinds of music at ACL Festival. Mm-hmm.
I did ACL this year too.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I did ACL live during South By.
The same.
Never mind.
ACL's in like five different, it's like five different creations. ACL Festival is a massive festival at Zilker Park.
Yeah.
And it's 2 weekends now, right?
Yeah.
And the artists have to agree to come back both weekends, which is part of it. And they can't play within the radius for two, I guess most like these other ones. But that was one of the first double weekend.
Yeah, they like started like 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah. Well, listen.
I would do that.
We've been, it's great. Austin's the best.
I love it.
You've been to Austin?
Yeah. I just told you I just went to South By.
Yeah, but I mean, they've been to Austin.
That's when
we would all roll our eyes.
Okay, yes. My friend Django lives in Austin.
Oh, that's right. You know Django.
Yeah.
That dear friend to all of us.
Yeah.
I forgot we had that connection.
Yeah.
Django was in Amy, my co-host, best friend's wedding party.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of his groomsmen
bridesmen.
Yeah.
Bridesmen.
How do you know Django?
Met him through
music.
Music, yeah.
Oh yeah,
it's good to know the fellow Texans.
Well, look at you, you're out. We've talked for an hour.
Has that been an hour? Wow.
Yeah, I'm a real treat to talk to you. So it felt like 10 minutes.
It does seem like 10 minutes.
Yeah, starting away you go.
Yeah,
I would encourage you to check out Lauren's record called No Saint, and this is "Give Up the Ghost," a song that we start talking about here. Mike, how do we feel about Lauren Jenkins?
I feel good.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah, that's what happens. People leave, and we go. How we feel about that one? I just met her as a person.
Yeah, do you can it if it's...
No, we put it up immediately.
Okay.
It goes up.
Oh.
There's some real turds.
Okay. Okay.
Just honestly speaking, there's some we go, this is a tough one. The cool thing, though, is we've gotten some really great ones early in like people's career. At this point, this is episode 172. We've been doing it for
That's
years.
Insane.
And we were doing it just as a passion project.
Yeah.
It's because I just love songwriters, and I love interviews where people want to listen for an hour, they can.
Yeah.
If they don't, they can hear 20 minutes.
Right.
And
fast
now
forward.
This has a huge art. The listening of this podcast is so large that I would equate. I think that a podcast with dedicated listeners at times is more powerful than my show, which has millions of people, where there's a big selection of passive listeners.
Right.
That being said, I do a talk show, so not super fair because I'm talking, and if people weren't staying, I wouldn't have ratings. But for a syndicated show, it's almost like you'd rather be on a podcast with a fifth because people that are in are all the way in.
Yeah.
People right now have their headphones in.
Yeah.
They're running or they're flying.
I love podcasts.
Me too. Yeah. What do you like? Any podcasts?
WTF.
I'm going to recommend you one.
Yeah.
This Disgraceland podcast.
Did
you ever listen to that?
I haven't yet.
It may be the greatest podcast I've ever heard.
Okay.
Not even on my network. And I have like, how many podcasts do I have on the network?
Five or six.
Mm-hmm.
I have some podcasts.
Yeah.
Not even on mine.
Okay.
No benefit to me whatsoever. I love music. I love music history. And he talks to people about, he tells stories of these people in the crimes that they've kind of committed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like James Brown, his life. And it's like, share.
Cool. Yeah.
They're so good. Disgraceland is the one I'd recommend. Mike, do you anything, any podcast you want to recommend?
Oh, I just started listening to that a lot more. I went back and listened to like the Sam Cooke one.
Oh man,
that's crazy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
It's so good.
Okay.
That's a good one, Disgraceland.
And then I listened to The Dropout.
I don't know what that is.
About the Thanos lady.
Oh, I watched that on HBO.
Yeah.
Did you see that story?
I haven't seen it.
Theranos.
Thanos is Avengers.
Yeah, that's the bad guy in Avengers.
That's a different guy.
I was like, that's a podcast? you watch Avengers? Have you seen those movies?
Yeah, I think so.
No?
I don't know.
You're so cool. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah. Any using any name brand products? Any name brand products you'd be familiar with? No. Everything I try out, I'm like, so you familiar with Apple? No. Still my Commodore 64. All right, listen, Lauren Jenkins at on Instagram at Lauren Jenkins.
I am Lauren Jenkins.
I am Lauren Jenkins.
I am. Yeah, sure I am. Lauren Jenkins.
Well, mm-hmm. There you have it. You're a real treat.
Thanks for having me.
You're a friend now. First time you've been to the house?
Yeah.
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 I guess most of which have been on the road together.
Yes.
Glad to have you over at the house. I'm not scared that you're going to come, you know.
I'm totally crashing
stick
your pool.
Me up. And then, you know what?
You know, when you're not here.
Have at it. Well, I'm having like a Memorial Day party, I think. Not on Memorial Day, but like the Sunday. Mm. So, because everybody's just back in town.
Yeah.
Why are you not on the road tonight? It's Friday night.
I don't know. Oh, I was supposed to be out of town to shoot a music video for a friend, but that got moved. So I'm here this weekend.
Yeah, I'm modeling here too. And we had to move something from last night. We were supposed to do this last night. And then it got moved. Did you know that?
I did not. No.
Okay, well, the end. Lauren Jenkins. Check out No Saint. And we'll see you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.